I know God is God at all times, at all places. We can call on Him anytime, anywhere. Midnight hour, it doesn't matter. He is still God. Hallelujah. Well, no music, is there? All right. You're spared tonight. You're spared. I was going to try it tonight, but you're spared. Hallelujah. I hope you continue to pray that we can get that big old truck sold and out of our way.
Lord, yes.
And the quicker that happens, the quicker we can make me and my wife happier. Especially my wife. Oh, she wants to get up here bad. I mean, she wants to leave Alabama in a hurry. She wants to done been gone. So, praise God. So, continue to pray, would you? Look with us tonight in the fourth chapter of the book of St. John. We're going to read some familiar verses to you tonight from the fourth chapter of the book of St. John. Oh, I enjoyed that preaching today. I mean, you know, and if I can say this correctly, if I can say it right and not be misunderstood, I don't think there was a lot of folks even realize what kind of preaching that we was hearing today. Or either you're so used to good preaching that you know, boy, I mean, that was preaching. Hallelujah.
Glory.
And I mean, I was on the edge of my seat. And not all preaching does that to me, but this morning did. I enjoyed that preaching today.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. John chapter 4. Beginning at verse 19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet.
Yes.
Our fathers worshipped in this mountain.
Come on.
And ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. I think there's a lot of people fall in that category, in that classification. I know 39 people that recently fell in that category.
Come on.
Amen. Ye worship, he said, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
Lord, it's good to know.
But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Would you pray a moment with me? Father, thank You for Your Word, the precious Word of life.
Come on.
The Word forever settled in heaven. May even tonight it be that lamp to our feet and light to our path. Oh God, I pray, touch the hearts and lives of Your people by it. With Your holy presence, move among us. Help us and touch us and help us draw nearer to You. In the holy name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray. Touch Your servant. Enable us to preach in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, perhaps I won't go over. I've done been given permission if I do, but maybe we won't. Maybe we won't. Jesus said that, verse 22, ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship. for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I just want to talk to you about worship. Worship. Hallelujah. I want to preach for a little while, just a few minutes, about worship. Now, God desires worship. God wants His people to worship Him. Now, the Scripture said, Jesus said, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. It's His desire for you and for me to worship Him. And He's worthy to be worshipped and worthy to be praised, isn't He? He desires it. He calls us to do that. He wants us to do that. But the problem is, too many people do not know what they worship. Jesus told this woman right here that she didn't even know what she worshiped.
Right.
Why? You want to talk with me about this being Abraham giving you this well and you don't even know what you worship. There's a lot of people fall in that category tonight. There's some that worship. You know, when the Apostle Paul, where was Paul when he went through there and he, where he saw, they were worshiping all these different gods and they came at Mars Hill, wasn't it? And there was this inscription to the unknown God. Oh, Athens. And so, here they were. They said, well, we've got this God and this God and this God and maybe there's one we don't. So they set an inscription to the unknown God. And so there's a lot of people that don't know what to worship or what that they worship. But this is the kind of worshipers that the Lord is looking for. He says that you must worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Amen. Now some do not worship today in the truth. Oh, they've got a lot of spirit about them, and they just like to get with it, you know. But it's not enough just to get with it. I like it when we get with it, but let's have some truth when we get with it. Hallelujah. There's a lot of people that worship in some kind of a spirit, and I've seen some kind of a spirit on some. There was one fellow one night, yeah, I was preaching in Kentucky in a camp meeting, a tent camp meeting in Kentucky. First one they ever had. They've moved it from the tent to the church now, at Flatwoods, Kentucky. But the first camp meeting they ever had, Brother Mark Hatfield and I preached the night about for 2 weeks. And I know there was one fella in a white suit. He just danced all over the place and shouted all over the place. But I realized that that was the wrong spirit. I know he had a wrong spirit a hold of him. He didn't have the truth. Jesus is looking for somebody that will worship in spirit and in truth. Some don't worship with truth. Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus described such individuals. He said, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. I think I know some people like that too. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus said, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Now the Bible teaches us that there arose the question of circumcision. But listen to what Paul said about circumcision in Philippians 3 and verse 3. We are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. I want to tell you, this flesh may worship, but we do not have confidence in the flesh. I mean to tell you, when a whole church is fooled by somebody grabbing two microphones at one time, an electric jolt, shake his shoulders, and everybody jump up and shout, amen, there's something wrong somewhere. Come on, help me here preach a little while. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, brother, that's not very spiritual.
I said, that isn't very spirit. That's not very discerning. Hallelujah. I may make you very quiet tonight. That's not my intention. Amen. But we need to know what we're worshiping. Some, amen, Paul said, amen, we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit, but we don't have confidence in the flesh. Hallelujah. You see, too many people throughout the Word of God have worshiped the wrong way. Why, I look into the Bible, I find two men. They were, if I'm not mistaken, they were the sons of Moses' brother Aaron. And anyway, they were the sons of the priest, and Nadab and Abihu. They worshipped, but they offered strange fire. Amen. I want to tell you, God killed them. Amen. God killed them. They offered strange fire. It wasn't the truth that they were worshipping with, and God killed them. Amen. Cain, he worshipped the wrong way. I said he worshipped the wrong way. How could he have worshipped? Preacher, how you know he worshipped the wrong way? Because the Bible said in Hebrews 11, by faith Abel, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Abel could not have offered faith, a sacrifice, without hearing the word of the Lord. And if Abel heard it, Cain heard it. But Cain said, I'll do it my own way. I'll bring the work of my own hands, the fruit of my own doing. And God says, I'll not accept it. And he was a fugitive, and he was a vagabond, and a mark set up on him, and he had to run throughout the earth marked, because he worshipped but not with truth.
You're right.
Amen. Jesus is looking for somebody that will worship in spirit and in truth. 850 prophets, but they were false. They didn't worship with truth. They cried out to their gods all day long, but there was no answer. But one man who worshiped in spirit and truth prayed a 63-word prayer, and fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt sacrifice and licked up the water in the trench and turned a whole nation back to God. Oh, hallelujah. David worshiped the wrong way, carried the ark the wrong way. It should be carried by sanctified men, holy priests of God. Amen. But David put it on a cart drawn by an animal. Uzzah was killed. Amen. But I want to tell you, when we worship in spirit and in truth, there are things that begin to happen. Abel did it the right way, and God accepted his sacrifice. Elijah did it the right way, and God answered by fire. Solomon did it the right way, and fire came down, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. David did it the right way after doing it the wrong way, and danced before God with all of his might. Hallelujah. We need to worship in spirit and in truth. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. So first of all, when we worship, let's make sure that we have truth with the spirit. Amen. And then secondly, the way that you and I should worship, I think I'm going to be done in time. We need to worship with expectancy. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. You know what? When I go to church, I'm looking for God to do something. I don't go to church out of duty. I don't go to church out of well, it's Sunday again. Well, I sure wish it was Thursday instead of Wednesday so I didn't have to go to church. I go to church expecting. Hallelujah. You know, it don't surprise me when God moves. I expect God to move. Hallelujah. I've been in some churches, they act like it's something special if they have a good service. Lord have mercy. Do you know that we should worship with expectancy? Hallelujah. Do you know that the Bible said in Acts chapter 2 that when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were in one place in one accord, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and cloven tongues like as fire set upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and with fire, and spake with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But I want to tell you, my friend, when Pentecost came in its fullness and its power and the wind blowing and the tongues of fire, He didn't just pour it out on somebody sitting around, amen, talking with their neighbor while service was going on. They were worshiping God in expectancy. They was looking for something to happen. They were waiting for the power of the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, who told them when He went away, "I'll not leave you comfortless. I will send you another comforter who will abide with you forever." He breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." The cloud carried them away. Amen. They didn't go back with their heads down saying, "Oh my, the Lord's been taken from us. What are we going to do now?" The Bible said in Luke 24 and verse 53, they were continually in the temple praising and magnifying, blessing God. Hallelujah. The Bible said they returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Hallelujah. They went back with great joy and went to the house of the Lord and went to the temple of God and were there continually. What were they doing? Waiting on the promise. Waiting on the promise. Waiting on the power of Pentecost. Can somebody say amen? We need to learn how to worship God with expectancy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Expecting God to do something. It didn't take but two chapters. It didn't take but two chapters for the early church to come under heavy persecution. It didn't take but two chapters for them began to persecute the church. Just two chapters. Amen. Oh my. From Acts chapter 2 to Acts chapter 4, persecution had already set in. But you know what they did? They called a prayer meeting. Hallelujah. When things got rough and things got bad, they called a prayer meeting and went to worship. And I want to tell you, they prayed and they worshiped with expectancy. They called on the Lord and said, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness we may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal and show signs and wonders in the name of thy holy child Jesus." And the Bible said in Acts 4 and 41, when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. My God, I think it's time, amen, that we prayed some prayers that we expect heaven to shake the earth again. Hallelujah. Somebody help me preach tonight. Hallelujah. When they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. I thought they got it in Acts chapter 2. I thought they got it in Acts chapter 2. How many believes they got it in Acts chapter 2? How many believes they got it in Acts chapter 2? Three people? How many believes they got the Holy Ghost in Acts chapter 2? I thought so. Well, what does this mean? And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hey, can I preach to you? It's all right to get a double dip. Hallelujah. Can I preach? It's all right to have the experience again. Can I tell you? That's right. It's not only all right, it's necessary for it to happen again and again and all over again. It's just about time for it to happen to this preacher again. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I came here tonight expecting God to come down and visit His people and do something in our midst. Worship God with expectancy. Hallelujah. He hasn't gone on a journey. He hasn't left us alone. God is God. He's still the God that's blessed highway of holiness in the days gone by. And I still expect Him to meet with us tonight. Hallelujah. David said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord." It made me happy. I was glad when they come by and said, "Let's go to church." Hallelujah. Why was David glad? Because he expected something in the house of the Lord. Oh, if we could just come expecting again. Come on now. I know a little bit about why. I haven't totally lost my mind. I got a little bit of sense about me. Amen. There's too many people lost their expectancy. Oh, just a little simple message tonight. But we need to worship in expectancy. Expecting God to move. Expecting and believing God to meet with us. I was glad. Because David expected God to meet. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I want to tell you something. Let me say this. One more thing. One more way that we need to worship. I know we need to worship in spirit and truth. I know that we need to worship in expectancy. But brother and sister, let me tell you, we need to learn, if we haven't yet, how to worship God in adversity. When things are going wrong, when things are bad, when it's rough, climbing up the rough side of the mountain, we need to learn how to worship God in adversity. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. I said we need to learn how to worship God in adversity. Amen. And I'll just give you two illustrations tonight. And I'm through. One from the old and one from the new. I tell you, we need to learn how to worship God in adversity because Job taught us how to do it. I don't think there's anybody here tonight that's been through as much as Job did. Am I correct when I say that Job was the richest man in the East? One of the very richest. Bible even says it. He was a perfect man. He was an upright man. Now, he had 10 children. He had hundreds of flocks and herds. I mean, he had it all. He was such a man that when he walked into town, aged men arose and stood. He had influence. People respected him. When he walked into town, the young men, the Bible said that their tongue cleaved to the roof of their mouth. They stopped speaking. They quit talking when Job walked into their midst, because he was esteemed and revered very highly. Yes, he was. This man of God, the very one that God himself picked out to the devil and said, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's nobody like him." And when the devil got through with him, I won't take the time to go into it, but I just want to say this tonight. When the devil was through, Job had lost all of his children, and Job had lost all of his flocks and herds. The only thing he had left was his wife, and she was trying to get him to give up and quit. Curse God and die. Amen. I mean, his own wife tried to get him to turn his back on God. His own friends said he must have sinned. Come on, Job. Fess up. Where'd you go wrong? What'd you do?
Why, yeah. What you been up to?
Amen. I want to tell you what Job did. When everybody turned on him, when he had nobody to give him a word of encouragement, he just looked up. Naked came I into the world, and naked shall I return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord giveth, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all of this, The Bible said, Job, sin not, nor charge God foolishly. Hallelujah. He had to sit and listen to his friends tell him where he tried to make him own up to where he'd done wrong. Chapter after chapter after chapter. Hallelujah. But oh, when he prayed and couldn't feel God, when he prayed and couldn't see God, when he searched and couldn't find God, amen, he still worshiped with expectancy. For when he went forward and backward and left and right and could not perceive the Lord anywhere, he said, but he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Hallelujah. And he worshiped God. I said he worshiped God when everything was wrong. Hallelujah. I lost my job. Well, join the crowd. Hallelujah. I said, hey, I can preach it now. Amen. I said, join the crowd. Amen. But I want to tell you, amen, he knows the way that I take. Praise God. I'm not worried. We need to worship God in adversity. Hallelujah. Amen. When the car's tore up, when the bank account's drained, amen, when our best friends turn their back upon us, praise God, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to worship God in adversity. All right, one more. I told you, one more. New Testament. Paul and Silas preached in Philippi. Certain young lady, a damsel, began to follow around after them everywhere they went. These are the servants of the Most High which show unto us the way of salvation. Right message, wrong spirit. Right message, wrong spirit. I've seen a lot of preachers with the right message but the wrong spirit. Amen. I've seen a lot of them preach their messages that were right in what they said, but their spirit was wrong when they said it. Come on now. Hallelujah. Amen. When if they'd have had a right spirit, it wouldn't have tore up everything and it would have healed. Amen. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Be careful how you say it. Be careful how you say it. Praise God. But oh, here he was. I mean, here Paul and Silas was, and they was preaching, and this lady said, and these other servants, Paul being grieved, turned after a while, and commanded the spirit to come out of her, and it did. Amen. There were some fellows that was making money on this lady. Now all their money making's gone. Amen. Paul's cast the devil out of her. Amen. And so they connive around and get Paul and Silas put in jail. All right, let's go into the jailhouse. Let's enter into that inner prison. Amen. Let's go down there. Amen. In that inner ward. Ah, yes. Now, Paul and Silas are in prison. The doors are locked. Their hands are fettered and their feet are in stocks. Amen. Oh, I know what some of you would have already been saying. Lord, it ain't fair. All I was doing was your work. Here I am in jail. All I did, Lord, was cast out a devil. Amen. And all it did was get me put in prison. But oh, that's not the attitude that Paul and Silas took. At midnight. What a time to start singing, huh? And praying. At midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And after they prayed a while, Brother Lawson, what else did they do? Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And they wasn't doing it just to themselves, and the prisoners heard them. Here they are in jail. They put my grandpa in jail in Franklin, Ohio. years ago. I don't even know if I was born then or not. He went to Franklin and it was all Catholic. He went down there and started preaching repentance. Franklin, Ohio. And they put J.T. Holman in jail for preaching repentance. That's right. That's right. I met a fella, I met a Church of God preacher the other day in Alabama, or Scottsboro, Alabama. Amen. Asked me, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Well, I'm from Ohio, but I was born in Berea, Kentucky." And we got to talking, and he said something about first church he ever pastored was Harmon's Lick. And I said, "Well, my grandpa pastored that church. My grandpa founded that church." He said, "What was his name?" I said, "J.T. Holman." He said, "Lord have mercy." He said, why, he's the one took me there." Hallelujah. Small world after all. Amen. And he said, "You know he got put in jail for preaching and standing for God?" I said, "Yeah, I know it. I already knew it. Franklin, Ohio, as well as other places." Amen. They put him in jail for preaching the gospel. Amen. Mayor came to see him. Said, "If we let you out, we want you out of town because we do not want the doctrine of repentance preached here." My grandpa looked at the mayor of Franklin and said, "You didn't call for me. I came on my own and I'm not leaving till God says leave." The mayor got mad, turned the lights out. Amen. But my grandpa preached to the captive audience that he had, the other cellmates. Hallelujah. And they had a revival in the Franklin jail way back years and years ago, probably before I ever born. I don't remember when it was. Amen. But oh my, they got a church established in Franklin, Ohio. Hallelujah. He didn't whine and bellyache, complain. Praise God. I mean, the first month he was there, he received a total of 50 cents tithes. Amen. But a little Pentecost woman came knocking on the door and said, "God spoke to me while I was shopping today. Told me to bring these groceries by." He didn't gripe, he didn't grumble, he didn't complain. He worshiped God in adversity. And now, there's all kinds of Pentecost in Franklin. Come on. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, we need to worship God in adversity. I need to hurry and quit here. I'm done over 5 minutes. I don't know how good Paul could sing, but he was half of a duet in a Philippian jail one night that sang the power down. Hallelujah. Brother, when they were facing adversity, they worshiped. And you know what happened? Same thing that happened on the day of Pentecost. There was an earthquake. Amen. That's right. The earth shook and trembled. The jailhouse door swung open. The stocks and fetters and chains that bound them fell off of their hands and feet. The jailer was about to commit suicide. Paul stopped him. "Do yourself no harm. We're all here." He grabbed a light, trembling, just a shaking, and trembling, ran in and fell down before Paul and said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And before daylight in the morning, they had a baptizing, and his household got saved. Praise God, and they got a church established at Philippi. I want to tell you something. There's some people that know how to worship God, even if the devil does come against them. There's some folks that know how to worship God in adversity. And if you'll learn how to worship God in adversity, it'll not be long. He'll turn it around and he'll give you total victory and triumph. Hallelujah. Because the Father seeketh such to worship Him. He wants somebody that can learn how to worship Him when everything's wrong. Hallelujah. Stand with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Philippi got a church because instead of griping and bellyaching when everything didn't go right, Paul and Silas knew how to worship God in adversity. Hallelujah. Let's come around the altar for a few minutes. Let's see God. Or we just want to run into the singing. Whatever you want to do, come around the altar and let's pray. Let's call on God. Let's believe God. Let's worship Him tonight in spirit and in truth. Let's worship Him tonight expecting Him to do something. And if you're going through it tonight, worship God in adversity and let Him touch you and bless you tonight. Come on, let's pray a while. Let's call on God a while. Let's worship Him tonight.